Welcome to Innovation in the Burg, a podcast about innovation in St. Petersburg. If you are a self-described science or technology geek, even if you're not, this will be a fun and informative conversation. I'm Allison Barlow, Executive Director of the St. Pete Innovation District. Each podcast, I'm joined by a local innovation leader who will talk about what they are working on. But to make sure we keep this in perspective and don't become too technical, we have a community member joining us. Our hope is that you learn something new and enjoy the conversation. Let me introduce today's guests. Our main guest is Ms. Latasha Barnes from Bayfront Health St. Petersburg. Latasha moved to St. Petersburg this fall when Orlando Health purchased Bayfront Health St. Petersburg. She is the Chief Financial Officer. Prior to this position, she was the CFO of Orlando Health Winnie Palmer Hospital for Women and Babies. She's also worked for Hospital Corporation of America, Arthur Anderson, and Deloitte & Touche. Latasha earned an undergraduate degree in accounting from Tennessee State University in Nashville and holds CPA licenses in both Florida and Tennessee. She's also an accomplished flautist, and we'll talk about that later. Our community member is Wilma Norton of Community Foundation of Tampa Bay. Wilma joined the Community Foundation in 2014, and she's the Vice President of Community Connections. Prior to this position, she was an Assistant Director of Public Information at St. Petersburg College and was also a journalist at the St. Petersburg Times, now Tampa Bay Times, for more than 20 years. Wilma has a BA in Journalism and Political Science from Western Kentucky University and an MBA from Florida International. So we definitely have the Southern girl representation here today.
Yes, we do.
I like that. So let's get started. Latasha, first of all, if you don't mind, tell me a little bit about your journey that got you to become a CFO in a major hospital.
Sure. Well, first, let me just thank you for having me on the podcast. I'm glad to be here.
We're excited.
Awesome. So my journey started in high school, actually, and it's an interesting story. I just kind of fell into accounting. I found a bookkeeping class. I think it was my senior year, and I had no idea what I wanted to do in college, and I liked it. So I thought, oh, I'll be an accountant then. And so there went 4 years in school and majored in accounting, moved to public accounting. I actually moved to Chicago after college. And after that, moved back to Nashville, and I started a career in internal audit with HCA. And then from there, moved into our hospital operations, became a controller, and moved my way up into a chief financial officer role.
That's quite a journey. And we're really excited about having Orlando Health come and join St. Petersburg, the Innovation District. And I know you guys, from the moment you walked in the door, you started making changes and talking to people. And I know you have lots of plans. Can you share a little highlights of what you've done or what you're thinking of doing?
We are so excited to be here in St. Pete. This is my third stint in the Tampa Bay area. When I originally moved to Florida years ago, I moved to St. Pete. I love St. Pete. I left and went to West Palm and then came back to Tampa. So I am thrilled to be in the St. Pete area again. I love it here. And we're just really thrilled to be a part of the community. We've spent the last 100 or so days now just really trying to stabilize where we are from a hospital operations standpoint, you know, really supporting our team members, getting them the tools and things that they need. There's a lot of infrastructure needs that we've had. So, I mean, from equipment to the IT network to, you know, a lot of just the things that you don't see when you walk in the hospital. So there's a lot of that work going on, a lot of employee recognition. Again, just really being supportive of what our team members need, our leaders, so that they can lead then our caregivers. You know, we're all caregivers, I should say, but leading those who are really at the bedside, really taking care of our patients. It's been a lot of hard work, a lot of people involved, and there's many more things to come. Nothing I can really share today.
Well, yeah.
But stay tuned.
Early on, but exciting.
But it's a lot going on, and we're really excited to be here.
It's interesting, when you come at it from an innovation standpoint, there's so many changes that are coming in the pipeline for healthcare.
Yeah.
And I remember years ago being at Bayfront and seeing one of the hospital beds that actually had translation services built into the bed. And it's crazy. But, you know, I know there's electronic health records, and then you get into specialized medicine or personalized medicine. So there's a lot of interesting things that could
even come. With COVID, obviously, we really expanded our telehealth platform, you know, so just really had to rethink how you deliver care in this pandemic era. So there's been a lot of technological advances that, you know, we're obviously working to bring to Bayfront as well. I should say Bayfront Health as well. So we're really excited to get those things really moving. So I would expect, you know, over the next, we're trying to accelerate as much as we can. There's just so much to do, but...
Well, and you, as you said, you're doing the environment of COVID, so that adds a complication
layer.
It
really does. I mean, it just makes you rethink kind of how you deliver care, what you do. I mean, our caregivers, they know what to do. It's the rest of us who are trying to navigate how to wear a mask all day, every day. Like, these are things they've been doing. It's the rest of us that are just catching up.
And it's so important. I know, Wilma, being in the community, to have a hospital like this.
To have that nonprofit hospital that cares about the community. My experience with Bayfront is both my daughters were born there. But I think for a lot of us, and I know a lot of people, because it's been in here a long time, there is that sort of allegiance, that community pride that I feel like, from what I've heard, you guys are going to work hard to restore and amplify.
You're absolutely right. I'll tell you, John Moore, who's the president, and I, we started early on having these listening tours. So our goal was to meet with every department in the hospital, as many team members as we possibly could, just to kind of hear, what are you proud of and what do we need to focus on? And I'll tell you, the overwhelming trend of those tours have been how proud they are of the hospital, what a pillar it's been in the community, and how proud they are of their team. So you're absolutely right. It permeates just who we are as a hospital, and it's really exciting to see their investment in Bayfront Health. So we're, again, equally up to the task, and we want to make them proud as well.
That's really cool. And it's interesting, what I'm also excited about having Bayfront Health and Orlando Health involved in the Innovation District is we've already had some fun conversations about education with young people. When you think about young people going into what we refer to as STEM careers, science, technology, engineering, and math, that's a really important thing for our community. To give the listeners a little background, STEM is a common definition or a common phrase you might hear, but it was founded or defined by the National Science Foundation and back in the early 2000s. And the reason they did it is they found that we did not have enough young people going into those fields compared to other countries. And there is a direct correlation in the number of folks who are looking at STEM as a career pathway and the economic prosperity of a community and the ability to solve community challenges, the intellect and the innovation that comes from those people. But the other thing that's really fascinating, this is where Wilma and I've had some fun conversations too, is the integration of art. So in more recent years, the acronym is expanded to STEAM. So science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And really by art, we're talking about the humanities, the way of thinking, the way of being.
That critical thinking ability.
It's just amazing. And I think that there's so much more of that happening in St. Pete. We often talk about St. Pete as an arts community on one side. And then we talk about the growing recognition that we're a science and tech community. I kind of want us all to stop talking about them in two pillars, but talk about them in one. I mean, Latasha, your career is that way.
It really is connected. I would agree. I mean, you mentioned me being a flautist.
A flautist, yes.
Which I am. I've played the flute since the fourth grade, and I rediscovered it after 20 years of not playing just a few years ago when I first became a part of Orlando Health. And you're absolutely right. The way I think about just when I was growing up, like I love to read. To me, arts are about imagination. Mm. And you're absolutely right, Wilma. It's that link of that creativity spawns critical thinking. It inspires creativity. It inspires things to be brought about that just innovation even that were not existing before. So, I mean, I you're absolutely right, Allison. There's very much a link between the arts and the traditional STEM education. It all is encompassing.
I feel like we are learning so much more, and we've been doing some work in this area about art as healing, art as medicine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know the Museum of Fine Arts is launching a program, I think they're calling it Art RX, where integrating of the arts and mood and, you know, anxiety prevention and suicide prevention and all of those kinds of things. I think we're all learning so much more about how mental health, physical health, the arts, and all of that really are all one big package.
Absolutely. I just saw online the other day the St. Pete Arts Alliance. Yeah. On their website, there's four murals. I haven't seen them in person, but it's all about the You Good campaign, but it's a link between behavioral health and the arts. I mean, it's a thing.
It is a thing. And you bring up the Arts Alliance, you know, in this last Shine Mural Festival, we worked together to do three murals in the Innovation District about the tie between marine science and life science and kids and art and bringing it all together. And I know, Wilma, you've told me stories of, you know, your girls and their passion for the arts and how you saw them blossom.
Yeah, our younger daughter started playing violin when she was in kindergarten and was a very shy child. And I like to say the violin, you know, kind of saved her childhood in some way. She would roll her eyes to hear me
and
say that.
And now you're doing it on a podcast.
And now I'm doing it on a podcast, which she won't listen to because it would be embarrassing because her mom's on it. But it was so important in our girls' lives, and theater and just music and all of those kinds of things that you hear people say, well, what are you going to do with that if you major in humanities? Well, everything, because you learn to think and you learn to reason and you learn to communicate. And
you
that's my
a,
sermon.
A really a great, interesting point, because I am an only child. I grew up with boy cousins, so of course they didn't want to play with me. But that's where I became an avid reader. That's, you know, when I discovered music. And you're right, it's that outward expression of, and I am truly shy. No one believes I'm an introvert, but really I am. But that's where that outward expression came for me. However, I never considered it as a career opportunity. I grew up in a very blue-collar family, blue-collar household. My mom had an office job, but my goal was to get an office job. What would I do as a flutist? Would I really, you know, be able to make a living in an orchestra?
But, you know, and I think I shared with you, when I worked in the tech field, we used to have, you know, big recruiting events, and we would go through tons of resumes. And one of my bosses who ran a big division said, pre-screen for music. And he would have us pre-screen, and anybody who said on their resume that they played an instrument or had some kind of musical background, he had us put them in a separate pile. Because he felt that the mindset of someone who was in music lent itself to technology. He had deep thinking about this, about, you know, how you can read music and love. And I wonder even if you could draw the correlation between your ability with music and your love of math.
It's an interesting thought. If you think about reading music, it's you're counting notes, you're counting measures, you've got time signature, there's a key signature. So there's a lot of You're reading code. There's a lot of thinking going on. And then there's the interpretation of it. And then you have all these dynamics. So I've never really thought about it that way. You're reading code. And there's so many facets of what you're doing all at the same time. But yeah, that's true. I mean, the structure of it is very, I think, the way my brain thinks. I'm a very linear thinker sometimes, even though I have this creative side of me. So the correlation I find is that it's left to right, just as if you're reading a book and then you're doing all these things.
It's also multitasking.
Yes, yes, yes. The structure of it. That's where I was going with it. It's got all this structure
to it.
Well, then
you got me thinking of, like, you know, bookkeeping records.
Yes, exactly. That's where I was going. Yes.
Yeah. And I think it's really important, you know, particularly let's talk about kids in our community. And kids, we know that in the science and technology field, we are very underrepresented for kids in the Black and brown community. And we've had a lot of conversations. And I think this is one way to show kids you might have a passion about something that does have a place in the world of STEM, but comes at it from a different perspective.
I agree. I never really expected to be an accountant or... When did I decide I was going to be a CFO? Like, I had great mentors along the way who kind of introduced me to the different tracks that I could take with an accounting degree. And I think that correlates nicely with what you're talking about. It's all about the access and the exposure to the things that you may know nothing about. And I mean, I don't know whose quote this is, but you can't be what you can't see. You've got to have people to expose you to these things that you just might not know exist.
And I think that's harder now than it was in the 70s and 80s when I was growing up, maybe just because of where I grew up. But there were defined careers. You were an accountant. You were a teacher. You were a farmer. You were a lawyer. Now, I can't tell you what half of my friends do, and they can't describe what I do. You know, I'm the vice president of community connections for the Community Foundation of Tampa Bay. What does that mean?
What is that, and how did you get there?
And how did you get there? And so I think that is upon us to offer those examples to children, because it's very hard to know what path is going to lead you to do something you find interesting that may have a name that means nothing, or a consultant.
Yeah. My dad, when I had 15 years in consulting, my dad always said, when are you getting a real job?
Right. For 15 years.
You know, it's very hard sometimes.
Or helping a young child or an older, you know, adolescent, someone who's just trying to figure out maybe what they want to do long term. What are your interests? What do you like to do? And then connecting them with someone who just helps them kind of figure out what you could do with that.
Right. Because we talked about, and this is really, I think, hits home for me. When you ask a young person, probably this in high school, maybe middle school today, about a career in healthcare, chances are they're going to mention doctor or nurse. But we've talked about respiratory therapists.
Right, medical technologists. Rat tech.
All kinds of jobs.
Many things.
That, I don't know, they exist. Pharmacists. And then, you know, one thing that I also think is challenging for young people, and maybe I had a very idealistic childhood, but you came out of high school and you went 4 years to college and you knew that was your path. But now you don't have to do it that way. You can go into a program. We were talking about central sterilization.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a quick certificate. You're like, I'm done with school. I need a break. Let's go get that. And then there are opportunities with companies like Bayfront and Orlando Health that will help you go get your next career, your next job.
Yes, we've got a tuition reimbursement program where it doesn't matter what you want to do. If you want to advance your education, whatever that means for you, and it does not have to be in your field of study or your job role. If Right. you want to do something different, there's support for you in that regard. So if it is a certificate to maybe move into a central sterile type position or a medical technologist, you know, we would support that. So you're absolutely right. That four-year university is not always the route you have to take for a successful career.
We talk about that a lot in some of the educational attainment work that we do. It's trying to get people to complete a degree or a high quality certification that leads to the workforce and to a job where you can have a living wage.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And those definitions do go up and down. I mean, when I was in college, it was like, oh, if you're smart, then you have to go to college. That's not the case. You know, have you hired a plumber lately?
How much?
Yeah.
Very true. Yeah.
I mean, there are so many career opportunities. And I do think I've noticed, because we spent a lot of time with the USF, a lot of students coming out of high school have so many credit hours already for college because of AP classes or other placement classes. So they're almost coming into college and skipping a little bit of those foundation. And it makes sense because you save money on tuition. But boy, you have to have your act together.
But then you're 20 or 21 and you have a degree and you don't have any clue what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's where the mentorship, I think, comes into play. Just having those connections or an organization that sees the benefit of linking professionals with whether you've got a degree or maybe you're in high school or you, again, don't know quite what you want to do, but helping to link those students with the professional that might help them make the decision or just give them the opportunity to see what it's like. I think that's really crucial.
Yeah, I think that's going to be something that's going to be important for all of us as we move forward on this.
And we've been talking about, you know, how we can assist from a workforce development standpoint. Like, how can we link with community academic institutions to help solve some of the deficits we're seeing from a healthcare, because that's my field, obviously. But from a healthcare perspective, how can we assist in building that pipeline of talent? Again, you don't need a four-year degree for all of the jobs that are within a healthcare facility. So how do we connect with St. Pete College? How do we connect with Pinellas Technical? Exactly. Mm-hmm. So how do we link that need that we have and then reach out within our community to help supply a think tank, if you will, some thought leadership in solving the problem?
Yeah, I think that's going to be important. I know that a lot of the, there's a lot of push right now for the city to really get known for its education pathways. And I'm excited to see where that takes us because I do think it's so confusing right now. I see more of it and I try to explain to people, okay, you can do this and then you can go in summer and then you can go. And I mean, eyes glaze over, especially the 17-year-old I talked to about this.
That's why some of the work that USF and St. Pete College and Hillsborough Community College have done on this FUSE pathway is so important because it leads to a four-year degree in a workforce area. And if you are admitted to that, they say, here are the classes you take, here's the order you take them in, and here's where you're going to get, and we're going to help you get there. For a lot of people, whether they're 18 or 38 and going back to school. That's what you need. You have to have a goal in sight and not sort of, oh, I'm going to take this and I'm going to take that because that costs money. And that's where a lot of people end up stopping out.
Exactly.
Because they've wasted, and I say wasted in quotes, no education is ever wasted, but they've meandered.
And I think bottom line is we want folks to be equipped so that we do have this culture and this feeling in St. Petersburg of a group of people who are able to solve problems and that we're really making headway on some of the things that we're trying to accomplish. I think in the Innovation District, that's why we're sort of doubling down in this conversation about STEAM careers, is because we see it as a pathway to our organizations. It's the lifeblood.
And it's a way to diversify what you offer as a city. I come from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and it's always known as like a foundry town. And then it's also a tourism, very high on tourism, healthcare, financial institutions, and education, because UTC is there. But I didn't want to stay. Like, there wasn't anything I was really interested in doing there. So when you can bring some variety, I think that's very attractive, not only to retaining the students who are in school here, but also drawing companies and other people to the city. So it's a great initiative that I'm happy to be a part of.
Yeah, and I think it's so critical. You hit on something. There's this idea of clusters, and we talk about it all the time here, but I always like to highlight it because as a kid who grew up in St. Pete, who didn't find a job here, had left, and was able to come back, we need multiples of everything in these industries. One of the greatest things that happens in a really robust economy and in a community is that there's mobility among the individuals in those organizations. Up in DC, it was kind of a joke that we all just switched places within the companies, but we knew each other. But each time we switched places, we were getting greater career exposure. We were getting greater responsibility. We felt like we were making sort of a progression in our career. And sometimes what had happened traditionally, I think, in this community that I observed was that we had some amazing people, but they weren't moving on. So what happened is the young people coming up were hitting sort of like, okay, if I ever want to take that, become a manager, I got to leave because there's no place. And here, what we hope to have happen is there is that fluidity. You know, even having multiple hospital organizations in the community is powerful because it creates that fluidity and all of them.
But every time you lose one of those good people for a lack of an opportunity, it costs the bottom line.
That's right.
In all kinds of ways, financial and other ways, intellectually. So
yeah, it's really crucial to have that, not even a succession plan, but the willingness to provide the opportunity internally to have that upward mobility really at all levels and a culture of constant, I guess, movement.
And acceptance of that that's healthy.
That it's okay. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, and I've been fortunate in my career. I've moved around a lot. I mean, one, it's a benefit of working in a large company, you know, previously, but even within Orlando Health, I've had the opportunity to move from a children's hospital to a women's hospital to now over here in St. Pete at Bayfront Health, and it's supported. You know, so it's that culture that must be there, I think, not only just within the organization, but to your point, within the city itself, just to have that opportunity is awesome.
And I think for kids, too, it shows them that sometimes I think they get analysis paralysis and, you know, that first decision is going to be my life. And I'm like, no, go back to my undergrad degree. I do nothing in that anymore.
I have said to our girls, these aren't terminal decisions.
Yes.
You take a job or do this thing and you want to commit to it. But if after a year it's not right, you can do something else.
You can choose to do something else. That's right.
Well, I think this is why it's so exciting to have Bayfront Health and have Orlando Health here, is because we're able to have these conversations and that you guys have that orientation too. We're not just a company or an organization in one spot. We're part of the community.
That's right.
And I think that's a really powerful thing. So anything else we haven't talked about, Orlando Health or Bayfront, or if anybody is curious about more information?
Well, if you're curious about what services we offer, who we are as a community hospital here, you can always reach us on our website at bayfrontstpete.com.
Excellent. Excellent. And I have to congratulate and Latasha because she just joined the Innovation District Board and immediately we recruited her into a leadership role. And then she's the 2021 Vice President, which is so exciting.
Thank you.
And putting her stamp on all of these initiatives that we're going to be doing is going to be so important.
I'm happy to be a part.
I'm excited. And so, Wilma, on the foundation, anything you want to share?
Well, we're just always excited when there's an eager and well-qualified and happy community partner who's willing to work with us to build a better community. That's what we're all about, doing that with philanthropic partners and others in the community. And Allison and the Innovation District are a big part of that as we are reinforcing our work in St. Petersburg. So we're eager to be partners.
You guys opened your office here this fall.
Yes, in October. And we launched a mental health initiative that we can talk about more another time. But we very much see how all of these issues are tied together for the well-being of us all. That's what we're all working for. So we're happy you're here.
Thank you.
So I thank everybody for listening, and I hope this gave you some excitement about what's possible in education, how we tie science and technology in with art, and kind of get you curious about what's coming, because I think you're going to see some fun things coming out of the Innovation District this year around this. We have a couple fun plans we're working on. I'm looking at Latasha right now going, you know this. But definitely thank you to our guests. I really appreciate your time. If anybody's interested in more, you can visit the St. Pete InnovationDistrict.com. You can also sign up for our newsletter, and we're going to be doing some virtual events this year, and then hopefully into face-to-face towards the end of the year. I would love it.
So ready.
I know. So thank you all, and have a great day.